very warm welcome for the last event in this series. I'm very happy that you have all given preference to the cognitive tendencies vis-a-vis the sensory experience of the sunshine. Talking about sense and body, the chairs in the front will only be here until late June. Then we'll have more comfortable seating arrangements again. So please stay with us, even if it may be a bit of a physical torture you have to go through tonight. Sadly, I'll have to start with some bad news. Anna Paetus last night had to cancel the presentation she was due to give here because of an emergency in her family. So sadly, we're not able to welcome her here. But we are even more happy to welcome Philippe Descola and Rosie Bredotti, who I'd love to welcome very warmly now. Two years ago, Rosie Bredotti was a guest lecturer at Columbia University in New York, where she gave a presentation about posthumanism. In this presentation, she made clear that for her, this term is neither a concept nor a category, rather a navigational tool, so that she's able to access and map the present in a way that is critical but integrated, in localized and embodied. What does it mean not to understand a word as either concept or category, but to see it as the embodiment of discourse and context and make it legible as such? And what is eliminated if, for example, in a dictionary, a term is treated as purely a concept or category? Our dictionary of now, which has been researching 12 different terms since 2015 here at the House of World Cultures. The whole thing is in the attempt to look at principal terms like justice, truth, time, image, language, or animal, and to understand these neither as philosophical concepts nor as categories within a certain field of knowledge. The Dictionary of Now, and this is the 12th event in that wider framework, is not an encyclopedia in Diderot's sense that maps global knowledge, nor is it a dictionary according to the Brothers Grimm, which basically opens up the history of linguistic usage. It rather sees itself as a type of anti-dictionary, which tries out a variety of artistic, humanities-based, social science-based methods and strategies in order to approach to phenomena of the now. These terms are very much on purpose neither theoretical nor epistemological tools, but apparently new categories and philosophical abstractions which we are trying to newly contextualize in this range of events. So we're trying to look at words as political and poetical areas and look at them like this. We are asking, for example, with guests like Wole Soyinka or Manthia Diawara, what are the conditions through which actors and in which power structures do we see criteria for truth emerging? Or how can recipients of justice have a voice in what is considered to be just? That was discussed by Nikita Dhawan, Christoph Möllers and Sarah Sharma in an event on the subject of justice. Another edition of the Dictionary of Now regarding time looked into what it meant for artist Jonas Mekas, who works with a time-based medium, namely film, to be confronted with a global capitalist time. And we had an event on language where the authors Hertha Müller and Marcel Bayer, who write in the German language, try to find ways and means to break out of a German language which has been contaminated through old as well as new fascisms. What are the data, infrastructures and materialities that make a digital image, and what are the bubbles it builds all around us? This was investigated by WJT Mitchell, Hitu Steil and John Tresh this year in the edition on image in the Pierre Boulez Hall. How this term of object or thing can be thought differently. When we're looking at the collection history of ethnological museums and we're looking at the violent history of the accumulation of the objects shown in them and tell this violent story rather than see it as a representation of faraway cultures. That was something which was explored by Tony Bennett, Arjun Napadurai and Sharon MacDonald in our external dictionary event held in the Ethnological Museum on thing, object. Very interesting was also the event on the body, which was outside of the House of World Cultures with Cadet Etienne Françoise Verger. That was actually held in the anatomical collection of the Faculty of Humboldt University, which dealt with medicine. It's a collection which has more than 1,000 skulls, all used as study objects for race research. The region from which these skulls come is known, but nobody knows the individual people. They just stand for members of a certain race, ethnicity, sickness, or crime. So here again, so-called humanist human medicine knowledge is based on inhumane categories. Other terms we explored were forum, fear, violence, and market. Now, next year, we bring all of this together in a publication which is going to be published by Matis and Seitz. But before we do this, once again, we're very happy to welcome fantastic guests for the last event in this series, Animal. Obviously, the event isn't just an event dealing with animals, but it deals with a whole area of categorization and drawing lines, making borders. What is a human being? What is not? And that also puts in this room among us the term humanism, which manifests itself as a tool of law, and particularly when it comes to human rights, it's very much present. In her presentation, which I mentioned, given that university, Rosie Bredotti criticises the humanist idea of man, which tends to be concentrated on the privileged white male European. But she also shows that if somebody had to fight for being recognised as a human being, then this person is not going to give up very quickly on the term human being or human right. So how can one criticise this conception of what is a human being in humanism without endangering what people have fought so hard to achieve? Perhaps we'll have to look into the Western idea of animals to approach this. And I think Philippe Descola was going to show in his presentation that the idea of an animal as an overarching category for beings that aren't human beings is not universal at all. Very few non-Indo-European languages have that sort of collective noun. And the same happens to be true for the category of plant. This categorization of what is non-human allows us to deduce what the European image of a human being or a living being is, because it's not necessarily defined by its relationship or its environment, but as a taxonomy object, which can then be given certain properties and maybe even rights. And that is why, once again, I would also like to thank Philippe Descola and Rosie Bredotti for having found the way to come to us to discuss the term animal, flora, fauna, but animal with us and to discuss what it means for us. I would like to very briefly say something on the two presentations and more accurate information on the biographies and CVs and most recent publications of the two speakers are available online. Philippe Descola is an anthropology professor at the Collège de France in Paris, and he's also a director of studies at the École des Hautes-Études Sciences Sociales in Paris. He became particularly well known through his research on the societies in the Amazon and their relationship with the environment, because they do not formulate any separation between nature and culture. Rosie Bredotti is a professor for philosophy and one of the founding directors of the Centre for the Humanities at Utrecht University, where in particular there's a lot of research on questions of gender and race. Rosie Bredotti, with her thesis on the nomadic subjects, became famous, and this year she's also published what might be called a kind of dictionary. It's the so-called post-human glossary, which has entries like animal, animism, Anthropocene, Earth, or Feminicity. Actually, the very issues that we have also considered to be very important here. So, please join me in Welcome, the two speakers tonight, and once again, very warm welcome to you. We will start with Philippe Descola, then we will hear Rosie Bredotti, and after that we're going to have a discussion among the three of us on the stage, but afterwards you, the audience, will have an opportunity to ask questions or give us comments. Maybe you'll already start thinking about what you would like to tell us.